Well, it's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, Minnesota, my hometown, out on the edge of the prairie. It's been warm, and it's getting warmer. It's been warm and windy. Marion, my cousin, had the first rhubarb in town, and she made a little pint of sauce and said it was a true elixir, and her heart palpitations have now been cured by that. Pastor Liz was out in the Lutheran cemetery, and the first mosquito bite she experienced, and word of that got around town quickly. Clarence Bunsen was looking out his back window, and he saw Mrs. Rasmussen hanging up the sheets on the clothesline. They were flowered sheets. They didn't look as if they came from America. And there also was her underwear, seven tiny, tiny briefs with the names of the days of the week embroidered on them in various pastel colors. Flowery sheets. The Bunsens sleep on white sheets, and Clarence's wife's underwear is foundational. It's supportive. This underwear was just for the record. And Clarence had to turn away. It was too much to see it all at one time. Mrs. Hoagland's piano students gave their spring recital on Wednesday, and the mayor of Lake Wobegon, Eloise Krebsbach, got to sit and listen to her youngest daughter, Charlotte, play Jesu, Joy of Man's Desiring, which should have made her happy, except that was the tune that was played as a processional at her wedding. And she remembers very clearly walking down the aisle and meeting Charles Best in his tuxedo down at the altar as that very tune was playing. And he turned to her and he said, "Well, here we go," in a tone of resignation. And she knew in her heart that she ought to say, "Hey, wait a minute. There was less discussion went into this engagement than most people would spend trying to decide on a restaurant. There she was. But she didn't say that. Wait a minute. She's never mentioned this to her four children, though after each one was born, she did think, wait a minute, we need to talk about this. It was all wrong, and yet these four beautiful people came from it. This is a mystery that we will never understand. There was a big thunderstorm on Thursday night in Lake Wobegon. The swans migrating towards Canada had landed on the lake, and they were all out there, and this wind came up. People went out in their yards to watch this storm moving in, a big thunderstorm, and the wind blowing across the lake, and the swans gently drifting ahead of the wind into an inlet under a weeping willow tree. About 150 white swans, beautiful, and the wind rippling their white feathers. They looked like showgirls getting ready for a big show. I was in Las Vegas on Thursday, speaking of shows. I was there and ran into Eloise's brother, my old classmate Dave, who was there with his second wife, Elise, who is, very nice, very nice. I go to Las Vegas every couple of years to visit a sculpture that my old friend Joe O'Connell made for the courtyard of Christ the King Catholic Church there in Las Vegas. You can look it up. Has a figure of Christ, and then many other figures, and it's to illustrate the verse from Scripture, "When I was hungry, you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me." Joe put me into the sculpture as a prisoner behind bars, and I wished he would have made me naked, but But I'm in prison there in Las Vegas permanently in granite, and just the greatest honor. I like to stand beside it and see if anybody notices the resemblance. But a woman came up to me standing by my statue there on Thursday, and she said, "Are you lost?" Which I guess we all are, aren't we? Anyway, I ran into Dave in Las Vegas, and he was there with Elise, and I didn't know how much she knew about Dave's youth in Lake Wobegon. You never know how much you're supposed to reveal about your old classmates in those wild nights, you know, when he used to drive around in a pickup truck 80 miles an hour on dirt roads, and then he would turn off the headlights and take his hands off the wheel. And in the wintertime, they would pull a sled or toboggan behind it on a rope about 30 feet long, and somebody would ride on it. And if you've never gone 80 miles an hour on a sled down a snowy road on a moonless night in Minnesota, there's one more experience you really don't want to have. And Dave is a cardiologist now, and he said, "I ran into our old classmate Bob Anderson, who's out in Las Vegas now." Bob was the only boy in Lake Wobegon who ever ran away to join the ballet. He came to New York, and he was in modern dance with a whole number of small companies. You know, they toured around the country in rental vans, and spent about 30 years with the Lindsay Lohengrin Dance Experience was the name of the company, which got arrested. She got arrested for indecency back in the 70s when it was still possible to be arrested for indecency, and which made her career. It was all the publicity that she ever would need, publicity that you just can't buy for money. She was brutal to her dancers, and they loved her for it, and so he ruined his body dancing for Lindsay Lohengrin, but he couldn't give up dance. He's 65, and he's all crippled up, but he's still working in show business in Las Vegas. He's in a show, The Sinking of the Titanic, and they do it, I think, 3 or 4 times a day, and all he has to do is kind of run back and forth on the deck of the ship and then fall into water and scream, but it's still show business, you know? He's still making people happy. So I went to the show, and I watched the Titanic go down, and went backstage and saw him, and at first he mistook me for my older brother, whom he liked a lot, and then he saw it was me, so that was a problem, but he was okay. He'd run into some other Wobegon people that same day. There were 4 farmers. I'm not going to say their names because, you know, what happens in Las Vegas, you know. But they were farmers. They were men with bellies big enough to have names of their own. And they came for 2 days, and they stayed for 5 because they did really, really well at the craps table. And I ran into them. They were earning money, and they were happy, and they were all together. And there was a young woman with them who was wearing a very, very short skirt and who I think had a wig on. I'm not sure. And they did not introduce me to her. I said, "So the wives didn't come, hon?" And they said, no, they don't. They don't go for gambling. I said, "So how was Easter?" They said, "Oh, fine, you know." Was the church full? I said. They said, "Well, you'd have to ask the wife about that." I said, "You're not Lutheran anymore?" They said, "Well, you know, I'm 72, he said, this nameless man. 72, and I figure that whatever good the church was going to do for me, it's done by now. And I'm just going to enjoy life. That's what this is all about, enjoying life." It's like the one about Ole, who was dying, and he smelled this rhubarb pie that Lena had made, and he crawled down the steps, down to the kitchen, and he crawled across the hall and into the kitchen, and there it was, on the counter, cooling off, and he pulled himself up by the counter, and he reached in the drawer for a knife, And Lena came up behind him and she whacked him on upside the head. She said, "Ole, that's for the funeral. Leave that alone." He said, "I want to eat it before it's time for the funeral." Well, that's the news from Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong, all the men are good looking, all the children are above average.